since you can't save yourself, and since you cannot keep yourself saved, can you keep yourself saved? He, Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will complete it, will finish it until the very day of Christ. Amen.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday and welcome. Well, we are deep into Pastor Bill's exciting study of the Epistle of Hebrews, a letter that consistently shows us the superiority and sufficiency of Jesus Christ. In part one of Pastor's study in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we begin to consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Today in part two, we learn the powerful implications of that truth for our lives. Now, Pastor, with part two of Consider This.
If we confess our sins, He, not us, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, listen, let me ask you a question. Is it your confession that cleanses you from all unrighteousness? No, it is your confession agreeing with God that opens the door for the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the key, is that God says, I've already done it. Oh, listen, that's how you do. You agree with God. See, remember in Romans 10:9, let me read it to you, that if you confess, if you agree with your mouth, if you confess this with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, Jesus, your Lord, and you believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession, agreeing with God, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him, not be put to shame. There's no distinction between Jew, Greek, the same Lord is rich over all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confession, consider it deeply. It just means, God, whatever you said about Jesus, whatever you said in your word, I agree with you. I may not understand it all, but I agree with you. The Bible says in 1 John 2:23, whoever denies the Son doesn't have the Father either, but whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Remember what Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the angels of God. But if you deny me, I'll deny you before the angels of God in heaven. We don't want to ever deny Jesus, amen? Now, watch this. It says, the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, now watch, who was what? It really should read, who is faithful, okay, it's a better translation. But he was faithful, but who is faithful to him who appointed him? So he says, consider carefully. Jesus was faithful to God the Father who appointed him and sent him to this earth. But Jesus also remains faithful. He is faithful to you right this minute. Do you know that? He will always be faithful to you. He sees you. He knows you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your tomorrow. Man, he has you in the palm of his hand. Jesus said, no man, nothing, no one can ever snatch you out of my hands. You know, the Bible says that God has inscribed you on the palm of his hands. You say, I'm running away from God. And God's going, oh, no, you're not. You're inscribed right there, you idiot. No. No, you know what I mean? No, he says, I have you, and I know what you're going through. That's what, see, a high priest knows what you're going through because it says he sympathizes with us because he was tested and tempted in all ways, yet without sin. Amen? So he could be that faithful and merciful high priest. Jesus is always faithful. Why is that? Well, he's God. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. At the end of his earthly ministry, listen to what Jesus said in his high priestly prayer to God the Father. He said in John 17:4, Father, I have glorified you on earth. I finished the work which you've given me to do. In other words, he was faithful to him who had appointed him. Revelation 1:5 says that Jesus is the faithful witness. Revelation 19:11, that's when Jesus and the church, when we return the earth and we set up the kingdom. It says that he is not only a faithful witness, he is faithful and true. Now, let's get to Moses again. Now, Jesus was faithful over all that he did. And now it says, as Moses also was faithful in all his what? House. Now listen carefully. The word house in verses 3-6 here is mentioned 6 times. Now, it's not talking about a building. It's talking about the people of God, the Israelites, okay? But it could be also talking about the tabernacle. The reason I say that is when he's faithful over all his house, where did Moses meet God when he spoke with him? At the tent of meeting, remember? Right at the door. Whenever God wanted to talk, Moses would go to the door of the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, and then the Shekinah glory of God, the cloud would come down and boom, and they would talk. Well, that blows me away. I wish that could happen to me today, but not where I'd die of fright, you know? No. Oh, so again, to the Jew, remember, Moses was the greatest man that ever lived. He was the height to the Jew, first century Jew, all the way back 1500 years prior. He was the epitome of what faithful, being a faithful person was, especially to these Jewish readers. You remember when Moses's big sister and big brother, Aaron and Miriam, remember when they were jealous of Moses? They were jealous of his leadership and told Moses, you know, hey, don't you think God can speak through us just as well as he's thinking? You know, you don't know everything. I'm paraphrasing. You know, you're just my little brother. I drew you out of the, push you in that water. I mean, who do you think you are, you know? And the Bible says God heard what they were talking. And I love this. Listen to what God said about Moses in front of Miriam, Aaron, and all of us. This is what God said, not what man said, but what God said about Moses. Let me read it. Numbers 12:10. And God said, "Ah, hear now my words." He's talking to Miriam, and Moses is there, and of course, Aaron. "If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses." I deal totally differently with this man. "Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all of my house." Not Moses' house, in God's house. "I speak with him face to face, plainly, not in dark sayings. And Moses sees the form of the Lord. Why then are you not afraid to speak against," and here it comes again, "my servant Moses?" Man, listen, God spoke to Moses like no one else in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. There was no other person as privileged as Moses. No other privilege was ever given to another man like it was unto Moses. Face to face. In Exodus 19:19, it says that God answered Moses by voice. Can you believe that? That God answered Moses by voice. You need to consider that. You really need to ponder that. Can you imagine? We're going to go in the Koinonia Cafe. I'm going to go up to a table. You guys can go in the main lobby. And all of a sudden, I'm going to sit at that table. Not only am I going to see a form, the form of God, but I am going to have audible communication with God. And he is going to speak with me, it says in Scripture there, as a friend. Do you know how deep that is? Loved one, this is the holy word of God. Moses, was he faithful? Yes, he was. God said he was. But was Moses sinless? No, he wasn't sinless. Jesus is sinless. But now listen to me. Moses wasn't sinless. I love the word of God. Now listen now. Did Moses murder the Egyptian? He killed the old boy, didn't he? Covered him, put him in the sand. How about Moses, did he smote or hit the rock twice? That kept him out of the promised land, didn't it? Now, why did I say that? I said that because if you'll read that again, you're going to find out that God doesn't mention that. God doesn't record that for us here. God records one thing. He wants us to know, my servant was faithful. See, our sins, where are our sins? As far as the east is from the west. The blood of Jesus has paid for our sins, our sin debt. Amen? You know, if God wrote a book right now about you, now listen to me, if he wrote a page, if he wrote a scripture, he wouldn't say, oh, look what Bill did, you know, 1952, 1932, 1960. I wasn't born in 32. Everybody knows it's 35. Come on. No, do you follow me? Why? Because he was manifested to take away. He was manifested. 1 John 3:5. We know that Jesus, he was manifested to take away. That means to take away. It's gone. Carry away what? our sins. So if God was writing a book about you, he would say, there's no sin there. Why? Because I can't remember your sin. Define forgetfulness. Hebrews 10, 18, 17 and 18. Think about that. But we carry that. Don't do that. It's already paid for. It's washed away. Consider that. Oh, that's something to really consider, loved one. Listen, for this one, meaning Jesus, he's been counted worthy of more glory or honor than Moses. Now look at why. Inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. Did Moses build the house? No, Jesus built the house. Moses was only part of the house that Jesus or God built. Now, for every house is built by someone. You see this place here? Somebody built it, all right? It's built by someone, but look what he says. But he who built all things is what? Is God. What did the scripture just say? He said, Jesus is God, and Jesus is God. Now listen, Moses knew a lot about God, but Jesus is God. Therefore, Jesus is superior to Moses. The Bible says in John 1, 3, it says, all things were made through him and nothing that was made. Without him, nothing was made. Whatever it says, praise the Lord. Verse 5, and Moses was indeed faithful in all of his house as a what? For the testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward, meaning the new covenant, meaning Christ the Messiah, all the prophecies. Now listen carefully. Moses was faithful in all of his house as a servant. Very important word. We need to really consider this because that word is only used here in the New Testament. This word servant, and it's therapto or therapto in the Greek. And consider this word servant, because the reason I ask you to do that is because of the person who gave this title to Moses, and that was God. Remember in 12:7 of Numbers, it says, Moses, my servant Moses, who's faithful in all my house. It's a title of honor, this word therapto. I have to remember the word rap, you know, rap? Because I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm not even a Hebrew scholar. Never mind. I was going to tell a joke, but I'm going to stop. It's a title of honor. This word servant here is used as a friend, a dear, deep friend who loves someone who is superior. It's not doulos, the bond servant. That's not what this word means. This is filled with incredible love. Now, so here, Moses, but here, listen to me now. Did he have to be persuaded by God to fulfill his calling? Huh? Yeah. Remember, with the burning bush, you're going to go to Egypt. You're going to deliver my people. Tell that Pharaoh, let him go. Oh, well, I don't know about that, Lord. I mean, you know, I can barely speak. I'm a stutterer. I'm from Arkansas. And, you know, I can just use the word bubba. That's about all I know. And you know what I'm saying? And so God finally got sick and said, well, here comes your brother Aaron. I know he can talk, so he'll talk for you and you can do the rest, okay? Did Jesus have to be persuaded to come? No. He willingly, of his own volition, he came for a greater purpose and at a greater cost. He died for our sins. Amen. Jesus is better than Moses. Now look at verse 6 again. But Christ, the first mention of that word, the anointed one, the Messiah, but Christ as a son over his own house. So listen carefully. Why is Jesus greater than Moses? Well, Moses is a servant in the house of God. Jesus is the son, amen, of God. Not only that, Jesus built the house. Moses was just a member of the house. Look at it again now. And whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence, rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. Boy, we need to consider this deeply. We consider who we are. God has established a house. Jesus came to build a church. Amen? The church was birthed on Pentecost. What did he do? He created in one man, and created himself, Jesus, one new man. Never existed before. One new man. From whom? Jew and Gentile, meaning the church. We're all one now in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, think about that. I mean, we're the house of God. Jesus is the head of this church. Listen, the church, people, we call it the church. I'm going to church this morning, but you are the church. See, well, we're in the church building. No, this is not a church building. You're the church building. Yeah, this is just a house. God hasn't set apart this house. He set apart you. You're the people of God. You're the body of the of Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have to get that down. Man, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:21, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows together into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are also being built together a dwelling place, a permanent home of God in the Spirit. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church, which is the house of God, is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, you are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you're the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? That's who we are. Ephesians 2:10, for we, the church, created in Christ Jesus, we are God's poem. We're God's masterpiece. Amen? We're the church. Now, look at verse 6 again. It says, whose house we are, the church. But then look at this. It says, if we hold fast the confidence, rejoicing of the hope to the end, firm to the end. We really need to consider that one word. You really need to think deeply and understand the word if. You need to get the facts or you will be confused and you're going to be worried. Number one, this letter was written to whom? Jewish Christians. Okay? In other words, they were new believers. Remember in chapter 10 of Hebrews, I believe it's verse 32 through 34, it tells us that these Jewish believers, they were in horrible suffering, horrible persecution. Man, they were going through tribulations. Hebrews was written not to discourage them, but to encourage them to press on and to keep running the race and be faithful like Moses. Therefore, with all that being said, hold fast. Look at it now, that word if. Hold fast does not mean if you hold fast, well, you just keep on holding firm to the end, you're going to finally be saved. That's not what it means. It would be better if it was the word since, translated since. Let's consider this. Think deeply about this. Let's get all the facts together. Let's consider this. Since we have a merciful and faithful high priest in heaven who is there for us, and since we have this high priest who suffered once for sins, not twice for sins, who can never suffer again for sins, amen? Which means it is finished. Since we've learned we are heirs of salvation, since we've learned that Jesus is the author or the captain or author of our salvation, that's leading us to glory. Amen. Since we've learned that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers, and since we've learned from last Sunday or whenever it was that every believer in Christ, the Jewish believers and us as well, we have been, the moment we were born again, you didn't know it, I didn't know it when I was first born again, but God declared you permanently holy forever. That's the word of God. I proved it. Remember? Yes. Now listen. And I say, oh Lord, what does that mean then? Since we cannot save ourselves. Did you save yourself? Since you can't save yourself, and since you cannot keep yourself saved, can you keep yourself saved? He, Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will complete it, will finish it until the very day of Christ. Amen? It's God working in you. The Holy Spirit's taking you from glory to glory to glory. You're going to make it if you're born again. Now, listen carefully. Since we can't save ourselves, since we can't keep ourselves saved, we don't have a hope-so conditional salvation. Does that make sense? Oh, no, not at all. Listen, it says, hold fast to the confidence. And then it tells us rejoicing. Well, what rejoicing? And what hope? I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. And I want you to really consider this. Ponder. Get this into your heart. Hebrews 10:19. Now listen, the word confidence in chapter 3, verse 6, and here is also translated as boldness, okay? But that is also courtroom talk. It's legal talk in the Greek. In other words, Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? That's courtroom talk. Okay, that's what this is right now. Now watch this. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, believers, past tense, having what? Boldness. That's that fearless, man, free and fearless confidence. The same word, having boldness to do something. Watch this, to enter the holiness. That means the Holy of Holies where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. Watch this now. How do we get there? By the blood of Jesus, not by striving, not by straining, not by being good enough, by a new and living way which he consecrated for whom? For us. How? Through the veil, that is his flesh. When the temple there, when the curtain ripped from top to bottom, that was representing his flesh. Now the way is open. Come to God. It's open for you. Jesus did it. Now watch this. Having a high priest over the house of God, that's us, let us what? Draw near. How do we do that? Watch. With a true or sincere heart in full assurance of faith. But who's the object of our faith? Jesus, okay? Full assurance of faith, having, there's past tense again. Look what happened to us when we were born again. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, inward guilt, outward impurity has been completely washed away. Now look what he says. Same thing he says in chapter 3, verse 6. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Jesus is our hope. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. The confession of our hope, how? Without wavering. That means in full confidence. Not worried, not scared to death. Why? For he who promised is what? What was the theme of verses 1 through 6 in chapter 3? Faithfulness. Listen to me. If Jesus is faithful, when he makes a promise, he can't break it. What happens when we're faithless? When we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? He cannot deny himself. He is what he is. Loved one, I look at that and say, oh Lord, now listen to me now. Holding fast doesn't make you a Christian. It proves you are a Christian. Why? Because it is God who makes you stand. If you're truly born again, loved one, God's not going to cast you out. Do you understand that? He's going to keep you forever and ever and ever. Boy, just consider this. The writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul. It doesn't matter, it's the Holy Spirit, okay? The writer is telling the Jewish believers to do something. Remain as faithful as Moses was. That's what he's saying. Why is he saying that? He says, please don't be faithless as rebellious Israel, which we're going to learn about. He says, don't do that at all. So this was not about the Jewish believers losing their salvation. It was about them losing their inheritance. What was their inheritance? The kingdom age, the 1,000-year reign. Amen? Boy, that's important that when Jesus comes, he sets up his throne here on this earth for 1,000 years. So now, verses 7 through 19, next time we're together, loved one, it's the second warning. Oh, he's saying avoid Israel's horrible example of unbelief. Look at verse 7. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, that word is urgent. It means right this very minute. Today, he's crying out to the Jewish believers and us as well. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the days of the trial in the wilderness. Man, isn't God good? Man, listen to me. Consider this. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're listening on the radio right now. Maybe you are at home. You could even be in your car and you're listening live and on your phone, whatever you do. Or you could even be in a living room and you're doing drugs and you're getting loaded, man, already. And maybe you're hurting and you're crying out for someone to help you. Would you consider this? Would you consider Jesus? He's the only way. You know, I read to you earlier this verse. If you don't know Christ, if you're not born again, would you consider what I'm about to say? It says in Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wait a minute. That is just too easy. Give me something a little harder than that. I'm just going to call out, Lord, save me. Yeah, if you mean it, he'll save you. You want to be saved? He'll save you. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, whoever becomes a Baptist, whoever becomes a Presbyterian, it doesn't say that. Whoever becomes a Calvary Chapelite, it doesn't say that. It says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.
Well, we hope the study today had encouraged you to stay fixed on the Son instead of on servants. Let us strive this week to hold on to Christ, strengthen our grip, and not let go. especially when trials come our way. Amen. Thanks, everyone, for beginning your week with us, and we look forward to seeing you once again. So long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.